Tonight, we have a lady that's sharing her thoughts with us that I've known for since the 70s. Believe that? Mm-hmm. She's old.
I was a mere child.
Danny knows her, don't you? You know Danny, don't you, Patty Walsh? Mm-hmm. Not Dan Hare now, this Danny up here. And she has worked for God for a lot of years, lots and lots of years, and she has stepped into the world of nursing where she can help people with their physical bodies or help them as they're going to be leaving the body. And she has donated her life to representing God. So who knows what she's going to talk about tonight, because sometimes she's pretty far out. So everybody get ready for our Patty Walsh.
How do you like those purple feathers, kids?
Oh, my. Well, this isn't too far out. One of my favorite people is Daniel Brinkley. Have you ever read any of his books? Okay. I'll give you a little catch-up on what he has said. He was 25 years old, and he was talking on the phone to a friend during a thunderstorm, and lightning struck him. And it really messes up your body. But it did one good thing. It tuned him in. So he could hear what people were thinking, etc. When he was spending 28 minutes on the other side in heaven, he had some wonderful experiences. The love that he felt going to heaven was so great that he didn't really want to come back. And there were these beings of light that showed him pictures of events that would occur in the world. And his second book, he talked about what has happened with those pictures, the ones that have come about, and it was really quite interesting. Well, being struck by lightning wasn't enough in his life. He, 20 years later, had to have surgery on his heart because it was really muffed up with the electrical charge. And it was on the same day, 20 years later, and there was another electrical storm. So when he's in surgery, he passes out over to heaven again. And when he was there, this is real interesting. You know, we were taught in some religions that God judges us. Well, from his experience being over there, God doesn't judge. You do a life review, and you get to see what's gone on in your life. And the neat thing about it is you get to experience what you've given out. Well, he beat up every kid he ever looked at. He was not what you call a sterling character. And he recognized what that was doing to people. And so he changed. So this second go-round, going back to heaven, he experienced the difference. And that was really neat. And one little lady in one of his lectures, I've heard him speak a couple times, said, well, what about hell? And he says, you know, no one brought it up. So with my reputation, do you think I was going to bring it up? So hell was out. The third time, he had been on a blood thinner, Coumadin, in huge amounts. I've never seen in nursing as much as he was on, just to keep him from throwing clots after this heart surgery. So he had an aneurysm, which was also the result of the being electrocuted, you know. So, and he had a couple of hematomas, which are big bruises in the brain due to the blood being so thin. So he was really in bad shape, a lot of pain, in and out of consciousness. When he goes, and then he had surgery, and they drilled a couple holes in his head to relieve the pressure, and he eventually was fine. But when he's on the other side this time, and he was very hesitant to even share this in his book, so I'm going to give you the mini version of what he said. He said, you know, when you pass over, you go to heaven, you're only as far as you've traveled here on earth. So the things that you've learned, that you've accomplished, that's what you start out with on the other side. And if you have not appreciated life, the gift of life, and used your creativity, you, with your thought, put yourself in a holding pattern. And Catholics call this purgatory. And he said it lacked the luster that you normally would see. No bright lights, no bright flowers, nothing bright. It was kind of a blue-gray. And he said it sort of just taking a look at that and being there, it kind of zapped your energy because it was a low-rate vibration of energy. What he didn't say, and this bothered me, how do people get out of that? But what he did say is you can prevent people from having to spend eons of time until they realize, one, they can ask for help, and two, it's always there, and life is a gift. And you're living to express the fullness of your God-given talents. And they just didn't get that. Somehow or other, either they weren't taught or they weren't interested in paying attention. He doesn't go into that either. So he says, there's a power of love that can make a difference, and we all know that. A power of belief, a power of choice, and a power of prayer. So then he starts to talk about that. Well, the power of love, you get it coming here. You experience that. One helping another, realizing love is the substance that holds the universe together. And we have the ability to feel that love. And when he went to the other side, he said, it just flows through you. It's just wonderful. God's love is unconditional. We don't have to do anything for it. It's there. And that's part of our divine expression, experiencing God's love. And he talks about being one. Now, this is a real interesting thought to me, and I had to hear it over time to realize. You'll hear people say, oh, I'm just one. I couldn't make a dent in whatever it is, or I couldn't change a situation. Well, you can as one, because you never stand alone. You always have that repertoire of spirit people behind you, and all you have to do is ask. The other aspect of one, is it one alone, or is it one as humanity is one? And he talks about that we are all creatures or creation of God. So we are one, and one is everything that God's created, people, animals, the earth. And when we're one and we work as a unit, we work in all of those areas and we love all of those areas. So you'll see people that are real concerned about preserving the earth because that's part of us. It's not called Mother Earth without a good reason. It gives us everything. So he talks about that, and that whole expression of love and sharing with each other. And then he talks about one of my favorite pastimes, laughter. It's as important and potentially as powerful as love. And Reverend Ida Hill, years ago, said, "You can tell dirty jokes, it's okay. It's the laughter that makes the difference. One, it writes the energy field, and it carries a very powerful energy. And this is laughing with a person, not at a person." Of course, you know that. So that's real neat. And you've confined yourself when you get into a giggle fit. It really sets you differently from where you started out. It makes your step lighter. It changes the energy in a really positive way. And it's wonderful. And I've been kicked out of places with Millie. Not just once either. She got me laughing. And I couldn't stop. And they said, "Miss, would you mind leaving?"
Really?
Very
true.
Yeah, it is. She's just a wonderful, loving intro.
Was it?
No, it wasn't entered. But it was fun. Okay. Each of us has a unique mission to accomplish in life. Each of us. And it's up to us to figure out what that mission is so that we can live to our fullest capacity and appreciate the life that has been given to us. Affirmations attract positive energy. When you keep saying a positive phrase, you're pulling in that positive energy and it gives you more energy to work with. So that's good. Praying, we're talking to God, meditation, we're listening to God. All of those things make a difference. So, the power of choice. I really like this, and I recognized this the minute I came into the Spiritualist Church when it was down on 2nd and Beach. Choice gives you self-responsibility. And I thought, I can deal with self-responsibility. What I couldn't deal with was judgment and blame, and you have to, you should, you must, in my primary religion that I was brought up with. So getting into spiritualism, I realized, yes, it is choice. You make a choice and you accept the end result. So make the choice wisely. And that's how I taught my kids. I said, okay, you're going to make a choice. Look at what that end result is. Is that what you want to deal with? Then go with it. If it isn't, you might want to change it. You know. But then they had their growth lessons, you know, to test that out. And that's as it is for all of us. Life was never meant to be a struggle. Isn't that amazing? And when you look at this Economic Times, it's a struggle for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. But that's not what it was meant to be. When we indulge in acts of indifference and retaliation, what are we doing? we're getting into violence, we're getting into judgment, and we become part of the problem. So that may not be a choice we want to step into. Rather, choose to be pure of heart. Remain true to the cause of righteousness. Hold to the promises of goodness and the principles of truth, and you walk the sacred path and become a spiritual hero. And it's choice. When we use that power of choice, we are also given the gift of imagination. Life is a creative activity, and this gift of imagination gives you option to come up with a lot of different scenarios to meet the challenge. And that's really pretty fun. And I would always say to my children, there are always three choices. So take a look at that. And don't stop until you find three. So that you know it's not just one choice that's written in stone, but there are at least three. So use your imagination, use your thought to come up with at least two more and then make your choice. And that seemed to work pretty well most of the time with them. The power of belief. How does belief influence you? Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's faith. You can have faith in the endless possibility the universe holds in store for each one of us. Endless possibilities. That is so cool. You know, when you think of that, there's no end to the creativity, to the joy that you can express in living your life. Endless possibilities. And when we get in and really understand those endless possibilities, we pick up the spiritual understanding of our eternal oneness with the infinite nature of divine love. So that's where we draw to God, and we work as a team. Can't get any better than that. That is really awesome. Okay. How about the power of prayer? When Daniel Brinkley was really ready to die with all the stuff going on in his head and the tremendous pain, someone told Art Bell. Have any of you listened to him on? Yeah, okay, you know him. And he asked people to pray for him. What a change that made. There were 5 million people. 5 million people around the world praying for Daniel Brinkley. You think he got better? Did he have a choice?
He had three.
And he picked the right one, Bart. Fascinating. And that is the power of prayer, and you're hearing more and more about this. You know, because we pray for people all the time. And the... What's the list that... When you pray for people on the corner of the world, so many people do extremely well. And it shows you the power of prayer. So this is awakening the medical community. I didn't think, years ago in the 70s when I went to holistic health conferences and I heard all kinds of alternative means of health, I didn't think in my lifetime I would see that come about. It is, which is really exciting. So he says, the medical world talks about willful conscious intent, which is what prayers are. So he says, willful is the ability to influence through mental power. Conscious, a knowledgeable stream of awareness. Intent, concentrated attention to a specific purpose. So the medical world has kind of coined that. This is what prayer is. Willful, conscious intent. We can just say we're praying. Same thing. Which is really interesting, and it's showing the medical world that prayer makes the difference. Coupled with their expertise, you can do very well with that. So prayer gives us ability to tap into the spiritual realms for strength and inspiration. And it opens our minds and hearts to behold the powers of the mystical dimension in the physical realm. So, in summary, we are all one with everything. We are one. Think about that in the coming weeks, how we are one, working together as a unit. One with that God energy, and when we tap into that source, there's no limit to what we can do. We can use the power of love to help each other. We can use the power of belief to realize the world is kind. God is kind in how he has set up the dynamics in the world. And there's help for us always. We can use the power of choice to exercise our strength and commitment. And we can use the power of prayer to unite our goals with all the positive forces of the universe. When you pray for someone, if they don't want to accept the energy of that prayer, it'll sit out in the ethers. When someone else prays that positive prayer, they can pull that energy so it's never wasted. How wonderful, huh? Thank you.
She certainly stirs us into thinking. What would you say? Well, God is love, and we all love. Sometimes we have little bits of love, you know, we just love the way my hair looks, or you just love somebody so much you just never want to let go. You just want to hug them forever. You know, I still can't get over the idea that I never thought about, yes, I love my mother, but I never thought that much about it. I cannot believe how many times I'm experiencing her now. I'm going to say in the last year, it's just been, she's been gone for 50 years, you know. Well, not quite, but yes, 50, well, almost. Diana was 7. So almost 50 years. And I just can feel her presence, and I just can almost, you know, just overwhelming. So it really helped me one more way to know we will always be. What form it is. And he certainly gave us an interesting picture of the life after, didn't he? We'll all know someday. Oh, nobody has the answer yet. Nobody, not completely. But he certainly painted an interesting picture, didn't he? Through Patty.